Please be seated. Or you can remain standing through the sermon if you want to. It's up to you. Let's pray first. So just, Lord, thank you for your word, just the gift of your word. Lord, we just ask that you will speak to us this morning through your word. And Lord, will you soften our hearts and transform us and form us together to better reflect the image of Jesus. Amen. So we are in a sermon series thinking about discipleship. So we're trying to understand what discipleship is and where we are in our discipleship journey, which I think can actually be like a really difficult thing to figure out. And it's kind of funny that we're having a sermon series on discipleship, really, if you think about it. Because if you're a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus is an all-consuming, like, lifelong lesson in how to submit to the kingship of Jesus. It's learning to see the world the way that Jesus sees it. It's learning to die to ourselves so that we can empower others. It's learning to love in the ways that is costly. It's learning from Jesus to be like Jesus, learning how to live as Jesus lived. So I'm going to burst your bubble right now, okay? Are you ready? You're not going to master being a disciple of Jesus by listening to this sermon series. I know. I know you were all hoping that this sermon series would finally be the thing that just got us there, you know? Like we'd walk out from this place and just do all the things that Jesus did, be raising the dead, healing the sick, just full of wisdom, just fearless. Probably not going to happen. Not this week, anyway. I don't know who's preaching on the next one, but maybe they'll sort us out. But I'm glad we're at least talking about discipleship. Because like I said, if you're a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus or a student of Jesus is everything. At least it should be. I mean, if it's not, then can we call ourselves Christians or say that we're actually following Jesus? So hopefully what this sermon series will do is at least get us thinking a bit more about where we are when it comes to discipleship. And still, I think, is a really hard thing to figure out, but here we'll give it a go. So Thomas, from our first Bible reading. For second Bible reading. He spent the better part of 3 years by Jesus' side. He watched how he lived his life. He watched how Jesus dealt with those who loved him and hated him. He watched how Jesus just loved people. He saw him perform miracle after miracle. He heard him preaching and teaching all over the place. I mean, and what would you be willing to give up for an opportunity like that? To be able to spend that much time just directly with Jesus and getting to see him do all that stuff. I mean, how could that not be such a life-transforming thing? But when Jesus was killed, it seems like Thomas's thoughts were, well, that's it. It's all over, folks. What a shame. But actually, I think it's too easy for us just to point a finger at Thomas and kind of think, oh, just what a fool. You heard Jesus say several times that he's going to be killed and raised from the dead. And you wouldn't even believe your friends when they said they'd seen him. And like, why would they even lie to him about that? But really, Thomas's response isn't anything new. It just kind of reminds me of the Old Testament. Where we go here? Oh yeah, you know the God and the Moses story, right? In Exodus,
you let my people go.
Thank you. So God performed all sorts of huge miracles, which worked out for Israel's favor, because they were slaves in Egypt. But God set them free by tormenting Pharaoh and pretty much all of Egypt, and with all of these plagues, and even parted the Red Sea to help them escape as they were about to be recaptured by the Egyptians. I mean, this is all just classic Old Testament, over-the-top miracle stuff. So all of those people saw God do all of this huge stuff, and they're finally free. God defeated Pharaoh. But now they're wandering around in the wilderness for, you know, not too long, like a day or two, and they start to feel a bit hungry. Then they start to get really hungry and a bit angry with Moses for dragging them out into the wilderness. Like, Moses, what did you get us into? Like, yeah, we were slaves in Egypt, but at least we had something to eat. So pack it up, boys, we're heading back. Don't forget to kill Moses on the way out. I mean, so they had just seen these miracles of God that we're still making movies about today. But after a day or two of getting hungry, none of that really mattered. After all that, all they really wanted was to eat. So I think Thomas's reaction to Jesus being killed was actually a lot like Israel's reaction in the Exodus story. Like, if I could see God moving in big and obvious ways, well, then yeah, that's the sort of God I can get behind. And maybe that's where you are in your discipleship. You're waiting for God to just show you the big and obvious signs that he exists. I've been a Christian for 27 years, and I still kind of find myself in that place from time to time. I'll go through these moments of just doubts, and I'll just pray, just why don't you do these sorts of things that we read about in the Bible? So where am I in my discipleship? Well, I find myself with Thomas from time to time, asking, are you sure all this about Jesus is right? And I just kind of think, well, a clear sign would go a long way to firm up what I believe. And if that's you, if that's where your faith looks like at the moment, that's fine. We're not supposed to stay in that place, but if that's where you are now, you're okay. And I'll explain a bit more as to why that's okay in just a moment. But then I also have these moments where I find myself like Paul from our other Bible reading, our first one. Not that I have anything like Paul's ability to proclaim the gospel. I'm not saying I'm anything like Paul in that sense. He was just a brilliant communicator. But I'm talking more about just that first verse of our reading from Acts. It says, while Paul was waiting for Timothy and Silas, that's who he was waiting for, at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. Have you ever had any of those moments where you're not doing anything particularly spiritual? You're kind of in an ordinary moment, and all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit just prompts something like out of you or prompts you into action. I mean, Paul was just sitting in Athens waiting for his friends when all of a sudden his spirit was provoked within him. It was quite a few years back now. I was working with this guy, and we were, you know, becoming friends. And we were just having a conversation. It was kind of a really serious conversation. He and his wife had really gone through something pretty painful. I won't go into the details. I won't go into everything that was said, but it was just one of those moments, because he just said something, and it just really just stirred in me, and these words came out of my mouth. And I was kind of surprised. They were what I was thinking, but that they just kind of came out. And he just looked at me like with shock. And then I was a bit shocked myself. And then I was a bit nervous, like, oh, man, how's he going to respond to this? And he just kind of shut down, and he had to walk away. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I go into work the next day, and he was there just before me. And we always turn the radio on. And he was listening to, like, Christian music. Like, he gave his life to Jesus that night. It was just a phenomenal thing. Like, when the Holy Spirit just, like, prompts it out of you, just, like, look out. But, so Paul, you know, he's remembered as being this Spirit-filled missionary that has helped transform the world. So much of the New Testament was written by Paul. So much of our understanding of who Jesus is comes from the letters that Paul wrote to the early church. I mean, Paul is about a big hero of the Christian faith as it gets. But what's Thomas known for? He's doubting Thomas, right? I mean, the truth is, we don't really know a whole lot about Thomas, other than he was the disciple that initially doubted Jesus' resurrection. But none of the other guys were waiting at the gravesite on the third day either, so I don't know why everybody picks on Thomas. So maybe we should cut him some slack. Because some early church writings, I mean, we don't know if this is all true or not, but some early church writings claim that Thomas went on to Iran and India, and started several churches around there, and he was eventually killed in India for his faith. But what Paul and Thomas have in common is that Jesus met them right where they were. I mean, Paul, he was a great persecutor of the church when he met Jesus. Thomas was an ordinary fisherman when he met Jesus. And Jesus called both of these men to follow him, sending them on a journey neither one of them could have ever dreamt of. And same is true for me, as I'm sure many of you would say that here today. I can't imagine how differently my life would be if I hadn't decided to follow Jesus some 27 years ago. And in that whole time, I've never seen a big miracle. But I can see where he has led me so far and how much he continues to challenge and just expose and change my heart. I'll take that over a big miracle any day. I'd much rather have the same heart of Jesus than getting to see something really cool happen. So I'm kind of preaching to myself, because I still believe from time to time that I need to see that cool miracle. Even though I know that this is just so far from the truth. Miracles don't sustain faith. They don't make us better people. They don't change our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit pointing us to Jesus is what sustains us. Pointing us to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's all we need to be transformed. So Jesus wants to meet you right where you are. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through. He wants to meet you there and lead you down the life that he lived. So this is my final thought, really. So discipleship is learning how Jesus lived and imitating him. So Jesus meets people where they are, right? So isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? So Paul met the people of Athens on their turf, where they were. Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he sent them out to wait, to be taken in by strangers, to be accepted by them and go into their homes. Meeting them on their turf and where they were. So we meet people where they are because that's what Jesus did and what he sent his disciples to do. So if you're looking for an opportunity to get out there, meet some people where they are, I have just a couple suggestions. Well, today actually is a good opportunity. There's going to be a really big scooter festival right in Wellington. That's right where we're heading after this. So there should be loads of people there, lots of people you'll probably already know. Either way, you get to see some pretty cool scooters. But then a couple other things that we've been involved with for a long time is CAP, Christians Against Poverty. I was a befriender when I was in Colchester. And that's a great opportunity to just meet people where they are. And they're going through some struggles, and you could just be right there with them. You don't have to have all the answers or solutions. Just offer what you can. Just be with them. And then another thing is we're getting ready to start this Thursday. We've got some work to do, Sergey and Tanya. Yeah, we've got the English cafe starting up with the Ukrainians. And we could use a couple helpers there. But it's been a phenomenal thing just to get to know some of the Ukrainians that are in the area. Just sitting and talking with them. So if you're interested in either one of those things, please do let me know. Let me pray. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to us. Not in any way that because we deserved it or we've done anything good at all. But thank you that you come to us in our brokenness. And you don't shame us in our brokenness, but you do expose it. And thank you for the way that you lead us into that true and everlasting life. So, Lord, will you send us out in that image to walk with people and to point them to you? Amen.